Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here today. If we have visitors, and I feel certain we do, we're thankful that you've made the decision to worship God with us and be with us here today as well. I have a few announcements that I need to take care of. A few. There's four or five here I need to take care of before we get into the sermon. So if you pay careful attention, these are some things that you'll want to be aware of as far as what's happening here with the congregation at Maryville. In the first place, don't forget about our Sunday night program, which continues tonight. On Sunday nights through the summer, we're meeting down in the fellowship hall for a period of discussion about a Bible topic related to our relationship with God. And afterward, we have some refreshments, and that'll be true again tonight. So if you've not been coming to be a part of that, I would encourage you to check it out. I've had lots of positive feedback, and people have found that it's a very refreshing kind of new experience for Sunday nights. And I would encourage you to come tonight as we continue that program. Along those lines, Andy has asked me to announce, because our teens are away on the mystery trip, that there will be no teen class tonight. And so any teenagers that are here that did not go on the trip, he has asked me to give the message to you that you'll want to come and be a part of the discussion in the fellowship hall with us this evening. Also, I want to remind you that our Vacation Bible School begins a week from today, and that's going to be a fantastic event. There's lots of preparations that are being made. I want to encourage you to be here and bring your kids, and there will be an adult class. I'll be teaching the adult class upstairs, up here, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. The material is going to be related to our relationships and how to have the best relationships we can in our marriages and in our families and just interpersonal relationships in general by putting up what we might call good guardrails within our lives to make for successful relationships. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that series of lessons that will begin on Sunday night a week from tonight during our Vacation Bible School that will run through Thursday night. And there's more information about that in our bulletins. So if you'll pick one of those bulletins up, you'll have all the times and all the information there. Also, one other announcement. We are making preparation to begin our small group ministry again starting in September. And so those preparations are underway. In order to help us with that, if you are willing to be a small group host, I want to encourage you to consider that, and there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board across from the elevator, the small group bulletin board. If you would consider hosting a small group in your home, that does not mean that you have to provide food, although if you'd like to, that's fine, but there will be arrangements made by other group members for that. We just need a place for you to for people to provide a place in their homes for small groups to meet. And if we're going to continue our small group program, which I think has been a tremendous success in this congregation, and if you've benefited from it, we need plenty of people that are willing to host in their homes. And we're going to hopefully be moving to doing it not once, but twice a month this go round. And so we need plenty of hosts. So please, if you're willing to do that, please sign up on that bulletin board as soon as possible. I've made the decision to change our sermon topic this morning, so David, we won't need this. I'm going to move away from what we planned to do, and I'm going to do something different this morning. We had been studying together through Joshua, and we'll do that again, God willing, next Sunday. But this morning, I just feel like we need to talk about something else. You're here this morning for a reason. We're all here for a reason. There are lots of different reasons why we might be here. But there's one reason that I think if we really look within, there's one reason why we should all be here for sure. And that's because we all need forgiveness. The book of Romans has quickly become my favorite book of the Bible. In that book, Paul explores for us the power of what God's grace can do. But before he gets to the message of the power of God's grace in chapter 3, he talks about just how bad we need grace in chapters 1, 2, and the first part of chapter 3. In those chapters, Paul says, There is none that is righteous, not even one. For we have all sinned, every one of us, and we've fallen short of the glorious presence of God. We're here today because we're all sinners, and we need to be honest about that. Amen. It has been observed in the past, I don't know who first said it, but I like it. The church is not a museum of saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And I don't think that a statement could be any more accurate with what the Bible presents. We come here today because we need healing. None of us are healthy, not the way we really should be. Because none of us perfectly do what we know we ought to do all the time, and therefore we come needing forgiveness. And I'm thankful that this is a church that recognizes that fact. This is a church, you are a group of people that you know we all need forgiveness, and that is why we're here. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the power of forgiveness. And I want to start in Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I just want to read some words to you here from God's message. Psalm 32. And these are the words of a man who experienced the power of forgiveness. King David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Now notice that verse 2, he doesn't say blessed is the man who has no iniquity. Because there is no such person save Jesus Christ alone. There is no such person, for we're all sinners. We all have iniquity. But notice, blessed is the man against whom the Lord doesn't count any iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now listen to what David says here and the way he felt, or at least the way he had felt. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. David says, I had gotten to a place in my life where I was living in a way that was far from God. And I was keeping silent about my sin. And he says, when I kept silent about it and I kept it in the dark and I kept it to myself and I tried to sweep it under the rug and I tried to keep the skeleton safely, so I thought, in the closets, it ate me up on the inside. My bones wasted away. And he says, I groaned all day long. There was a groaning. Why was he groaning within himself? Because he felt the weight of that guilt as if the hand of God himself was heavy upon him. And all of his strength was gone. Just like the summer rays baking the clay that hasn't seen rain in months. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David got to a point where his heart was ready to confess, to own up to his sin. To be honest about it, to be real about it, to pull the rugs back, open the doors, and let the light of God's presence expose his personal sin. And then he experienced the power of forgiveness. Well, what happened to David? What would happen to a man that he would get to this point? David's story is told for us in stunning detail in 2 Samuel chapter 11. There in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says that King David wasn't where he was supposed to be. Kings are supposed to be with their armies in the springtime when they go out to battle. But David stayed behind in his palace. And in the night, his eyes began to feast upon the delicacies of the sin of lust as his eyes saw a woman bathing nude upon her rooftop. And he wanted her. And he sent some of his servants to fetch her and to bring her. And David was caught up in the sin of his lust. And after sleeping with Bathsheba, David knows that he is guilty. And so he tries to cover up his sin in every way. He tries to go to great lengths, even having her husband killed, to cover up his sin. But be sure, your sin will find you out. Because Bathsheba is with child. And a prophet of God comes to David and he calls him on the carpet, telling him a story about what if there's a man who has this entire flock of lambs, but then whenever a guest comes, rather than taking one of his own lambs, he takes a little ewe lamb that this poverty-stricken man has that he loves so dearly, even like a pet, and he takes that pet away and kills it and feeds it to his guests. What should happen to such a man? He should be punished. You're right, David, because you are the man. You could have anybody you wanted, and you took this one man's wife. And David knew the power of his guilt, and God's hand was heavy upon him. And he stopped being silent about his sin, and he confessed it. And then he knew the power of forgiveness. And he writes a song about it. It's so powerful that David could come back from that. That a man could come back from adultery. That he could come back from murder. That a man would be recorded in Scripture having done such things. But that he could come back from it. And that he could know the power of God's forgiveness. And so David writes a song to celebrate the power of God being able to bring you back from the depths of your sin. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. Now, you say, wait a minute, that's not true. Had not David sinned against Uriah? Had not David sinned against Bathsheba? Had not David sinned against the people that he was trying to shepherd as a nation? Sure he had. But David realizes what is most heavy upon him, more than sinning against people, is when you sin against God. Because when your relationship with God is not where it should be, then all of your other relationships will be wounded as well. But the reverse is true. When your relationship with God is healed and restored, then your relationships with other people get better. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, that I may be clean. Wash me, that I might be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." David knew he was a sinner, and he confessed it. He brought it all out in the open. And you say, wouldn't that be so embarrassing? David acknowledging this, wouldn't he be absolutely the laughingstock of the entire kingdom? Because look at what our king has done. This person who's supposed to be our leader politically and even our leader spiritually. And look what he has done. And yet David, by confessing it and owning his sin and showing true penitence, is not recorded in history as being the worst king of Israel. Instead, he's recorded as the best one, a man after God's own heart. What if there was a David among us? How would we treat him? Jesus gives an indication about how we should treat such people that are trying to come back from their sin and trying to confess what they've done and trying to find the power of forgiveness. Look at Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Beginning at verse 21. In fact, let's back up to verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Then Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." Some translations say 70 times seven. In other words, there's no limit to it. We are to be a community of forgivers. Why? Because I've been forgiven too. And I need it every day, and so do you. And so as a community of forgivers, we should do what James tells us to do. Look at James chapter 5 with me. James chapter 5. Let's begin at verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. We are to be a community of forgivers because we know the power of it. Why do we know the power of it? Because we've experienced it. Listen to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I think the person that has difficulty forgiving is maybe the same person that has a difficult time grasping how much they've been forgiven. When you know how much Christ has forgiven you, it makes it a little easier for us to forgive one another, because we know the power of forgiveness. We are here today for different reasons, but one thing should remain constant. We all should be here because we know we all need forgiveness. This morning, if you feel the weight of your guilt heavy upon you, and you feel dried up like the heat of summer, and your strength is gone, and your bones feel like they're rotting on the inside because you have been hiding your sin and you've not gotten it out there, I want you to be free from that today. Amen. It's not mine to give. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, taking the penalty of all of your sins so that you can have the joy of your salvation restored. And if you need to know that joy today, you need to come and just lay it at His feet. And let us pray for one another. Confess to one another that you might know healing, and so that your joy might be renewed. If we can help you in your relationship with Christ, just make your need known by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.